stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, for introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Chazan Chaghany. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Heather, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is migration to WebSphere MQ version 6 on distributed platforms. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. Once you're in the meeting, you'll see the presentation. We recommend that you view the presentation in full screen mode. To do this, go to the view in the toolbar at the top of your screen, select Make Shared Area Full Screen. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, or if you'd like to download a copy of the presentation, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 7010232 in the search box on at the very top of the right page. Once again, the number is 7010232. This call is being recorded, so you can replay it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a question-and-answer period. Today's presenters, Greg Bauman, Jack White, and Kenneth Langhorn. Greg began in IBM customer support in 1987. In 1996, he began supporting the MQ series, now known as the WebSphere MQ. In the past, he has supported MQ on Z series as well as the distributed platforms, but now has concentrated on the distributed platforms. Jack White started with IBM in 1997, providing support for the Visual Age PAC-based application development tool. In 2000, he joined the WebSphere MQ team, supporting customers on the distributed platforms. Kenneth began with IBM in 1985. He moved to IBM support in 1989. He began the MQ series in 1993. He currently works on all WebSphere MQ platforms with emphasis on iSeries. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Greg, Jack, and Kenneth.
Thank you, Sam. This is Jack White, along with Greg and Kenny. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Can you go to slide 2, please? No, thank you. What we're going to talk about today is why you need to migrate to MQ version 6. We'll go through some pre-migration issues and requirements, what's new. We'll talk about the migration itself on Unix platforms, Windows, and iSeries, and we'll do some talk about some post-migration issues, summary, and there's a whole bunch of resources that we have, lots of links that will be pretty helpful. Next slide, please. Why migrate? Well, MQ5.3 is going out of support the 28th September this year, so there's not too much time left to get migrated to 6.0. There's a link there to the actual tech note that lists that if you need that for management purposes, if they really need to know. We need to see it in writing when this is going to go out of support. Something else your managers might like, if you get that migrated before, then they won't have to pay any support contracts, which could be pretty pricey. Slide 4, please. I'm going to talk about some of the pre-migration issues here, system requirements, what you need, some of the new features in WebSphere MQ 6.0, and just some general considerations before you start migration. Slide 5, please. Pre-migration system requirements. There's a whole list of system requirements out there in the Technos database. And you can access that in the URL we have listed there. Things like operating system versions, patches and maintenance levels, hardware requirements, Java versions, database versions, compilers. And you can see all that out there for your specific platform. And I think you had slide 6, please.
Before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can still access the presentation by going to IBM.com and typing 7010232 in the search box at the very top of the page. A technical document with the PDF will display. Thank you. I'll now turn the presentation back to Greg, Jack, and Kenneth.
Right, in the pre-mic, we're going to talk about some of the things that are new in WebStream Q6.0. We're not going to get real detailed about it, just hit some of the highlights that will possibly affect your migration, things you'll need to consider. The migration information item and the quick beginnings manual are two good resources for that, and we'll have links throughout the presentation. On the iSeries, you might need to look in iSeries System Administration Manual as well for further information. 5.7, please. One of the new things in 6.0 is the 64-bit queue managers. They do require that you have a 64-bit operating system, and that's on AIX, HP, Polaris, and Linux powered. Some of your applications are going to need to be, won't need to be modified, but your 32-bit switches and exits, they're probably going to need to be rebuilt. There's a whole section in the migration manual on 64-bit. There's a whole chapter dedicated to that. 5.8, please. Some other issues involved with the 64-bit queue managers are the use of the live path and LD live path. They're not advised anymore. You shouldn't use those. You can use 64-bit run on a 64-bit operating system on Windows, but it has to be version 6.0.2.1. The queue manager is still going to be 32-bit, but the operating system will be 64-bit. And again, there is a whole chapter on the 64-bit information in the migration manual. 5.9, please. Databases. This pertains to the Unix platforms only. Your database has to be 64-bit version. You're going to need to rebuild your switch load files for those databases to support the 64-bit processing. If you don't do that, you'll probably get an error when you try to start the queue manager. Your applications are going to fail to work with the database. Slide 10, please. DCE support was removed on AIX, HP, Linux, and Solaris. You'll have the option now to use SSL or some other type of channel ASIC to secure your channels. Slide 11, please. IP version 6, Internet Protocol version 6, WebStream Q6.0 can now use that, the new Internet Protocol. I gave an example there of what the version 6 and the version 4, the old IP, the way it used to be. This is not supported on Windows 2000. That platform doesn't have support for IP version 6 yet. Some of the other considerations, the IP version 6, are the domain name, server, and host name issues. There's another chapter in the migration manual that discusses implementing IP version 6 and kind of issues that you can run into network-wise. Slide 12, please. Channels are now queue manager objects. So you can recover them from media images and grant authority on them just like any other MQ objects previously. Slide 13, please. Directory permissions on AIX, Linux, HP, iSeries, and Solaris have changed. They're a little stricter. There are a couple examples there of what has changed, and the link there to the tech note has a nice chart on everything that was changed, what they used to be at 5.3 and what they are now at MQ6.0. Slide 14, please. For anybody on Windows NT, that's no longer supported at 6.0. you'll need to get to Windows 2000, Windows XP, or Windows 2003. Support for UDP has been removed. You'll have to use TCP/IP. And if you have any applications that use the com.ibm.mqbind.jar file, that's no longer supplied. You've got to replace that with the com.ibm.mqjar file. 15, please. I want to just talk about some general considerations with your migration. It's a good time to do some housekeeping and get rid of some unused queue managers and queues that you have out there that you might not need anymore. You might want to record some of your system topology details, names of queues, queue managers, channels, clients, and so forth, just to have for reference in case you do have to go back or something catastrophic happens. Slide 16, please. On the Unixes, you'll need to, well, actually on the Windows too, you'll need to remove any of the support facts listed there, and then there are some specific to Unix platforms. They'll all need to be uninstalled. It's recommended that you do that on all platforms, just so you don't have any old code out there, because these are now included in WebSphere MQ6.0. Slide 17, please. Exits are removed during migration on Windows. So before that, you're going to have to back that your exits up, part of the installation process. On the Unixes, that's going to happen anyway because you do have to remove MQ prior to upgrading to the new version. Slide 18, please. So when you're starting to migrate, to some of the things you'll need to do before you start the actual migration is to back up your queue manager objects. And the support pack MS-03, a lot of people have been using that for a long time, that'll back up your queue manager objects. And you'll be aware that that's only a partial backup. If you use that, you're going to lose the date in your queues and any configuration parameters that you have stored. So on to slide 19, what you'll need to do is take backups of everything, and the next three slides cover the Unix, what you'll need to back up on the Unixes. This is all done after you've shut down the queue manager. Slide 19 shows the Unixes. Slide 20, please. That's what you need to back up for Windows, along with that registry entry. And slide 21 for the iSeries. Slide 22, I will turn it over to Greg, who is going to cover the migration phase on Unixes and Windows.
Thank you. My name is Greg Bowman, and as Jack mentioned, I'm going to be picking up here, and we're going to change gears slightly. The first part of our presentation here has been more along the lines of what you need to do in the planning phases to get ready to do the migration. And now what I'm going to talk about in this portion of our presentation, starting on page 22, is the actual migration itself. And we're only going to cover the highlights of the migration. We're not going to go into the actual detailed steps or show you an actual migration, the actual install of the code. That's covered in our manuals, in the migration manual and in the quick beginning manual for each of the platforms. What we're going to cover in this section is more along the highlights, and then if there's anything unique to a particular platform that you need to be aware of, I'm going to try to cover that here just to make sure that you take note of these different steps when you go through the actual migration itself. On page 23, first I'm going to talk about some migration tips that are not unique to any specific platform. These are things that are generally true for the different platforms that you'll be doing a migration on. First point, if you want to install both the client and the server code on the same machine, you're going to need to use the MQ server CD to install that code. You have to install both from that server CD. You can't go back later and install the client without running into some difficulty. So you want to do, if you want those, you need to install them both from the same server CD. The next point is you can't install version 6 at the same time as you have another version of MQ already running on the machine. So you can't have two versions running on the same machine at the same time. You're going to have to uninstall the previous version and then install version 6 in order to do that migration. The third point here on page 23 is when you are migrating your queue managers that are in a cluster, you want to make or take care to migrate the full repositories first. And I have a link at the bottom of that page there to an excellent article on our DeveloperWorks site, which walks you through a lot of the steps and a lot of the step-by-step detail of doing a cluster migration. So if you're in a cluster, I would highly recommend that you review that DeveloperWorks article. We go to page 24. Now I'm going to get into some things that are unique to the Windows platform migration. One thing that's different about the Windows platform is you do not have to uninstall the MQ version. Say if you're running MQ 5.3, you do not have to uninstall that prior to installing MQ version 6. That's different than the Unix platforms, and we'll talk about that a little more in a few pages. But on Windows, you do not have to uninstall MQ first. Now, one thing that you will need to take note of is in MQ version 6, one of the things that is different is that the MQ Explorer is now based on an Eclipse platform. It's different than we've used in any versions prior to MQ version 6. We did not use the Eclipse platform there. So if you just migrate or just upgrade the or update rather the code that's already there for version 5.3, it will not install the MQ Explorer Eclipse based code. So what you want to do when you migrate is instead of just choosing the update option and letting it go through the update phase, choose the custom option. Now it's going to go through the same general steps that an update would, except it's going to let you select which code you want to install. And it will upgrade the existing code that you already have there, but you can also make the selection to have it install the MQ Explorer code as well. And there's an APAR IC47282, which documents this fact because we didn't get it into our manuals in time before we published them. But I wanted to make that point here since it got left out of our originally published manuals. If we go to page 25 now, some more information about the migration on Windows. If you use the Launchpad install to do the migration, which this is the format most people are going to use if they're working with Windows, the Launchpad wizard is going to automatically log the install for you or the migration for you. It's going to write out error messages or common messages to a log that it creates. And I have a link there on the middle of the slide. It tells you where to go to find that particular log file. If you choose to use the MSI config options to install the or migrate the code, it's not going to automatically do the logging, but there are detailed instructions in the Quick Beginnings Guide for the Windows platform that tell you step-by-step how to set up that logging. So if you do the MSI config, I would recommend that you go through those steps to set up the logging, especially if it's your first time going through the migration phase, or if you have problems and have to go back through it, of course you'd want to do that. But the MSI config command line version of the upgrade is not going to automatically do that for you. You need to take those steps to initiate the logging. If we go to page 26, and talk some more tips on Windows, you need to ensure that there's no queue manager or MQ processes running when you try to do the upgrade or the migration. Otherwise, you're going to get locks against the files or files in use kind of errors when it tries to update those files. And one thing that I wanted to point out on this particular slide is there's an excellent tool called the Process Monitor Process Explorer. It's a utility that's available for download from the Microsoft TechNet site. This used to be called SysInternal site, but Microsoft has taken over the site now. But there's a link there on that page where you can go to download that, and it's a very useful tool. It has some good things besides just being able to monitor upgrade or migration, but that is one thing that we have used it for in the past, is tracking to see who or what has a particular lock on the file that's preventing us from doing the migration. We move on to page 27. One thing that's unique about the Windows platform is the way we did the SSL implementation in version 5.3 or any version prior to version 6. On the version 5 code for MQ on the Windows platform, the SSL certificates were stored in a Microsoft Key Store. Now, that's different from all the other platforms in that the other platforms use a GSKit database to store those certificates. In version 6, the Windows platform moves in line with all the other platforms, and it now also stores the certificates in the GSKit database. So in order to make that move, one of the steps in the migration is going to be to migrate those SSL certificates from a Microsoft Key Store to a GSKit database. We move on to page 28. I'm going to talk some more along that same subject. The launch pad, if you're using the launch pad to do the migration, one of the selection there is going to prompt for you to run the check WebSphere MQ certificate stores. And that wizard is going to do an automatic check of your existing key store SSL certificates to make sure that all the certificates that need to be there are there, that they're not expired, and it's going to basically set you up in a position so that those certificates can be migrated cleanly. And if they can't migrate cleanly, it's going to tell you what certificates need to have what actions taken to get them into a position where they can be migrated. So this wizard will automatically do that check for you. Now, you can actually run that wizard from the launch pad before you get ready to do the actual install or migration of the code. So if you want to just go into the launch pad and run that particular wizard before you're ready to upgrade the code, you can do that. And it will do the check on your certificate store and write out the results to a log, which I have documented there on the slide, where you can see if there are errors, what errors there were in doing the check on the certificates. We go on to page 29. Okay, if you do not want to use the Check WebSphere MQ Certificate Store Launchpad Wizard, you need to do the check manually. Now, we provide a utility called AMQ CCert, and that checks certificate chains. Basically, it is the same code that's run behind the scenes when the Launchpad Wizard runs, so it's doing the same checks as if you had run the Launchpad Wizard, but you can do it from a command line using this AMQ CCert utility. And this information and details on how to run that utility are documented in the migration manual. Now, once you've reached the point where you have successfully checked all your certificates and have gotten all your certificates updated, make sure you got all the chains intact, then the next step is going to be the actual migration or transfer of those certificates from a key store to a GSKit database, and there's another utility which does that. It's the AMQ TCert utility. Now, that utility will be run automatically the first time you start your Queue Manager after the migration. It will do the check and migrate all the certificates that were that basically passed the AMQ CCert check. If you have any certificates that did not pass that check and you run the transfer certificate utility anyway, it'll only run one time automatically. So if you you start the queue manager the first time and there are certificates that didn't get transferred, it's not going to automatically transfer them for you. You can go back and make the corrections. You can use AMQ CCert again to do further checks, correct them, and then you can manually run the AMQ TCert to transfer any certificates that didn't automatically get migrated when the queue manager was started the first time. And again, that utility, AMQ TCert, is also documented in the migration manual. We go on to page 30. This is just one piece of information to wrap up the Windows SSL migration portion. If you're running a version of MQ code prior to MQ 5.3 Fixed Pack 7, anything prior to that, the Windows platform ordered the SSL peer values in a different order than the other platforms. After 5.3 Fixed Pack 7 and in version 6, Windows conforms to the same ordering that the other platforms do, that the GSKIP platforms use. And so if you have SSL certificates that were created prior to 5.3 Fixed Pack 7, then you need to go through some steps that are documented in the Migration Information Manual. It's step 4 of the SSL migration, and it'll walk you through what you need to do to upgrade those SSL peer values to be in line with the new ordering that's used in version 6 and post 5.3 Fixed Pack 7. We'll go to slide 31, please. Now we're going to talk about some things that are for the Unix platforms. These are true for each of the different Unix platforms. They're not unique to one single platform here, the first few topics that we're going to talk about. This was mentioned before. Our queue managers are now 64-bit on AIX, HPUX, Solaris, and most of the Linux platforms. That's probably not news to most people. That's a main reason a lot of people have went ahead and migrated already to version 6 was to get that 64-bit support. But the queue managers now will run 64-bit on those platforms. The second item there that I wanted to talk to you about is on Unix platforms, you must install MQ and any MQ fixed packs or CSDs before installing MQ version 6. Like I said before, that's not true on Windows, but it is true on all the Unix platforms. And it is not true on iSeries platform either. You do not have to uninstall on the iSeries or Windows, but Unix you do. On the third item there, this is really not anything new, but more of a reminder that it's possible that some of the default resource limits for things like semaphores or shared memory or file descriptors are not going to be adequate to run MQ version 6, but all of the minimum requirements are documented in the MQ Quick Beginnings Guide, so I would highly recommend that you take a look at that when you're doing your migration to make sure that those values are set to be able to handle your queue managers. On page 32, we're not going to really get into the specifics of how to do a migration or install of the version 6 code on any particular platform here. Really don't have time, and this is probably not a good forum for going into that detailed of a step-by-step thing. But each of the different quick beginnings guides does go into the information and goes into instructions on how to actually do the install of the code. And I just listed out here on the different platforms the tools that you use on that platform for doing the install, just to document that these are the standard install tools you always use for installing on these platforms. One note I did want to make a special mention of was on the Linux platform, you do use RPM to do the upgrade, but do not use the RPM upgrade tools. And I'm going to talk more about that in a few slides, but do not use the upgrade tools. That will cause you a lot of problems that you're not going to be able to recover from. If we go on to page 33, the support pack MS6A that I listed here is Webster MQ version 6 for Unix, automatic migration and maintenance installation. Basically, this is a set of scripts that's going to allow you to have a central repository for your installation code. You can have your base GA installation code stored here. You can have the different fix packs or refresh packs here. And you can even store different platform codes all in this one central location, and then install different platforms or different machines in different locations all from this one central place. So if you have a organization where you have lots of machines to migrate, this is probably a good tool that you want to look into, and it's support pack MS6A. The link is at the bottom of the page there where you can go to find more information and download that support pack. On page 34, talk about some things here that are unique to AIX. The EXTSHM environment variable. This environment variable was recommended in versions 5.3 and even somewhat in 5.2. It's no longer recommended for use in version 6. However, we have found some exceptions to that, and there's an APAR that I list there, IY99425, to address the specific problems that we've seen. Those problems are if you have memory-intensive 32-bit applications, you may have problems where they fail to connect to MQ version 6 without that EXTSHM environment variable set. This APAR discusses it in great detail. It goes into some different scenarios. It documents the different symptoms that you may see. So you would really need to reference that APAR to find the details and find out if the scenario fits your particular environment, and if so, which of the settings you would need to have for your particular setup. If you need further assistance on that, you can contact us here at the Support Center, and we'll be glad to discuss it with you in more detail. On page 35, this is some information about migration on Linux, and this goes back to one of the points I mentioned a little bit earlier. The use of the RPM upgrade tool is not supported, and this upgrade will, if you use the upgrade tool with RPM, it will cause some damage to the files that are installed there, and this will basically put you in a position where you have corrupted your MQ files and will not be able to recover from that. So do not use the upgrade tool. We do specifically mention this in the migration manual and in the quick beginning guide, but I wanted to make a special point here because of the consequences of doing that are pretty drastic. For the Linux platforms which do support 32-bit install, if you install 32-bit, there's not a migration path to go from that to 64-bit. You have to basically start over if you want to get to 64-bit. So just take note of that if you are running Linux version, MQ version 6 32-bit code. You can't migrate straight from that to MQ version 6 64-bit code. You have to uninstall everything and start from scratch there if you want to make that move. On page 36, another tip about the migration on Linux. The version 5.3, we have some environment variables which are listed here, the LD assume kernel and the RPM force NPTL. You need to have those still set while you do the uninstall. And the reason you need to have that is due to a Linux issue, which I have a link there that points to that particular issue on the Linux site and goes into a lot more detail about line, but basically, again, it's going to cause some unrecoverable damage to some of your RPM database if you don't have those set. Now, once you have completed the migration to version 6, you want to remove those environment variables so you can take advantage of running the version 6 64-bit mode code and the new NPTEL Linux, native Linux POSIX thread libraries. So you must have them set for 5.3 uninstall, but once you have completed that portion, you can remove those environment variables. And it won't hurt anything to have them set while you do the migration, but the key is while you're uninstalling 5.3, you definitely have to have those set. On page 37, this is just a quick point about Solaris, and the MQ version 6 supports Solaris 10 zones. This was also supported in version 5.3, but I wanted to make mention of it here in case you're not already using Solaris 10 zones. It's going to be a bit of a change and something new for you to deal with. There's a lot of write-ups about this and some of our tech notes on our website, but the best place to start is the Quick Beginnings Guide and the tech notes that I list there on page 37. And at this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Kenneth Langhorne, who will pick up with the iSeries migration.
Hello. On page 38, the migration on iSeries, the main point is to take a step back and review the Quick Beginnings Guide. Very detailed, and if you follow those steps, you shouldn't really have any problems with our migration. The one thing before you even start the migration is to ensure that the queue manager at 5.3 or 5.2 has been quiesced and backed up before you try to install version 6. And the other point is, like Windows, MQ version 6 will install on top of MQ version 5 for iSeries. Page 39, please. Now, after you've backed up version 5.3, you've followed the Quick Beginnings and installed MQ Series version 6, to verify that version 6 is installed, you can use this display software resource command. And then to verify the MQ Series version, we have this display mqmver command. What I recommend to everybody is that before you try to use the queue manager, you install the latest fix pack for MQ Series. Currently, that's 6021. And in the back of this presentation, we list some links that has a website that you can monitor for when the next one comes out. The other thing you need to make sure of when you migrate is that QMQM and QMQM ADM have proper authority. QMQM owns most of the MQ Series stuff, and then QMQM ADM is the group profile that owns everything else. And if you have any users that are doing the starts and the ends and need control over the queue manager, you need to make sure that they have access to the QMQM ADM group profile. Page 40. Now I would like to go into the post-migration general considerations across the board. The one thing you definitely have to be aware of for version 6 is do not start your listener before you start your queue manager. MQ Series version 6 should be started first so that we can update your file system. And if you do it in reverse, then you will have problems starting the listener after a migration. Page 41, please. Another general consideration that everybody needs to be aware of is if you cannot connect to a migrated queue manager, you need to check for the System MQ Explorer reply model and see if it's defined. I suspect you'd probably see it on Windows more than anywhere else, but the queue is across the board. And the easiest way to update your default objects is to do a start MQM-C. That will redefine the default objects. The caveat with that is if you've modified any of your default objects, you will have to go back and change them to whatever your modification was. Now, for those of you running on iSeries, it's to start MQM with the REDEF sys, or the redefined sys, set to asterisk yes. Page 42. Another post-migration consideration, if you ever talk to me, I will say it again and again, apply the latest maintenance. Whenever we find anything, we try to get it out as soon as possible, and our maintenance is cumulative. So if you have the latest maintenance, you will have prior fixes as well. On page 43, the other post-migration consideration that people need to take account of is channel initiator. We have a RunMQ CHI on in the start MQ command server. At version 6, we by default will start these jobs. And some people may not run them at 5.3, and they may look up and see these jobs now and are concerned. You can go into RunMQSC or on the panels on iSeries and alter your queue manager so that the options are changed from queue manager to manual if you don't want them to start up. Page 44. We've covered a lot of material over several platforms, so I'll try to summarize it for you. The main purpose for migrating is that 5.3 will be out of support 28th of September. And if you want to have full support, you need to be at the supported level of MQ series, which is version 6 after September 28th. So do what you have to get upgraded in a timely manner. Some of the other things we went over in the pre-migration step was to make sure that you have the proper software and hardware prereqs before you do your upgrade to version 6. And for anybody, you should become familiar with a support pack called MSO3, which allows you to back up your queue manager objects. The other thing that you will need prior to migrating for MQ series is to back up your logs and your queue managers on Unix and Windows. On iSeries, we use Journal Receiver, so we use a queue manager library, and the IFS structure need to be backed up on iSeries. We tried to point you to the new features that come into play with migration, like the 64-bit queue managers and switch load files to access some databases and the support for IP version 6. I think one thing that anybody is on Windows needs to be mindful of is the SSL certifications are being migrated from the Microsoft key to the GSKit database. And we removed UDP and DCE support. The things that you need to remember when you do your migration is to become friends with your quick beginning guide. We put some work into them, and they're very detailed. And if you take those along with the migration guide, along with the list of reference material we have at the back of this document, you should not really run into too many concerns. Those of you that are running Unix may want to familiarize yourself with this MS6A automatic migration and maintenance installation. And our friends that are running Linux need to remember that there's not a direct migration path from 32-bit to 64-bit. Again, one of the things you can use if you have to do that is the MS03 support pack. Now, the things on post-migration that we covered were to make sure before you ever start your listener, you start the queue manager. The other point is apply your latest maintenance. I can't stress that enough. If you stay current with the maintenance, you can avoid problems outside of migration. Another footnote is that at version 6, the MQ series channels are now objects. So that will mean that if there's a problem with the channel, you should be able to recover it from your logs now. You need to be mindful of that. If you're using linear logging on the distributed platforms. And another thing is that we have tightened our permissions at version 6 for Unix and iSeries in the directory structure. I think one of the last things we went over was the channel initiator and command server are automatically started now at version 6. And Jack made mention of the fact that the COM IBM MQ bin jar has been deprecated, or in other words, has been replaced by the COM IBM MQ jar file. Now, as I said, if you go to the next page, 45, I'll just stop there for a moment and make note that 45 through 56 are basically reference material. It's broken into several parts. The first couple, three pages are migration resources that you should review for your platform. Pick the ones that are applicable to your platform and review them. The pages 48 through 51 goes over APARs related to migration if you need more detail as to the things that we fixed related to migration. And pages 52 through 54 points to several tech notes related to migration. And you probably want to look to see if they're for the ones that are specific to your platform. Among them is a tech note that just in general goes over upgrading to version 6. So, a very good one to review. At the end of that, on page 55, we have a development work article that relates to migrating clusters. I believe Greg made mention of that earlier in the presentation. And I believe on page 50, we also have some general WebSphere reference, 56, excuse me. Can we go to page 56? There's some additional WebSphere product resources. And that chart has links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Development Works offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcasts and conference information. And if you visit the WebSphere.org, you can see user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assist consists of self-help modules to get new users up to the learning curve quickly. And the ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the support link, the My Support link, on all product support pages lets you sign up for a weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Now, I would like to take this time to thank Greg and Jack for working with me on this, and I would like to turn this over to.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. Also, if you are using a speakerphone today, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 if you have a question. And we'll take our first question from Robert Strong with Kaiser Permanente.
Yes, we. You mentioned that you have to uninstall prior version of MQ before installing version 6. Yesterday, we had, on a 32-bit system, we had MQ 5.3 CSD 7, and we just installed version 6 right over the top, and it worked fine. So is this, I guess it will work, but it's recommended to uninstall a prior version first.
What platform was that on?
AIX.
I think I'd do a reinstall.
I have not seen it work that way before, to be honest with you. AIX?
5.2.
Oh. I don't think it matters whether it's 5.2 or 5.3 AIXY.
On any of the units, it's recommended.
Yeah, 32-bit system AIX was at 5.2 maintenance level 7. Okay, MQ was at 5.3 CSD 7. And, you know, yeah, we stopped the queue managers. And there were like 8 queue managers. And just, you know, through Smitty, installed MQ version 6, and then we put on the, you know, the latest CSD, brought the queue managers up, and they went through their little migration stuff the first time you bring them up, and
right.
Everything seems to work just fine.
Well, to be quite honest, I'm surprised that everything worked quite fine, and I hate to say it, but we may be talking to you later on the support center line.
Yeah, so basically we've just started doing our engineering yesterday on, you know, on testing all this stuff before we get ready to go roll it out. And, you know, so I just found that interesting that, you know, we didn't have to uninstall.
I agree. I find it interesting, but my recommendation is, although it seems to be working fine now, I would be wary of that. We clearly document in the Quick Beginnings Guide that you must uninstall the previous version before moving on to version 6. And we have that documented specifically because there have been issues during the testing and during the initial development phases that resulted in us making those recommendations. So I would be wary of continuing, you know, I certainly wouldn't recommend doing that for a production environment.
Okay. And, yeah, thanks for clarifying that. I think we will go back and do our testing the recommended way.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
And moving on, we'll take our next question from Valerie Lampkin with IBM.
Hi. I have a question about the system resource limits that are listed in Quick Beginnings. Specifically for AIX servers, it says to set the system resource limit for data segment and stack segment to unlimited using the line commands?
Yes.
Okay, we had not done that. We went back on some servers where we were having a little bit of slow processing times, and we set that with the line command, but it didn't seem to take. It only seemed to be a temporary change. And so we had to go back to an old tech doc where it actually went into Smitty and set the hard and soft limits with a minus one that way to get it to become permanent. Kind of wondering, is this something that we do need to do across the board, and is it something that we can, if we normally had done it at the either prior to the install or with the line command, would it have been set permanently that way?
To be honest, that's really more of a question that the AIX operating system be in a better position to answer, since those are actually AIX operating system parameters that you're making the change to. But as far as whether you need those set across the board, it really depends on what you're doing on those particular systems and as well as what you're doing with MQ, what you're doing with other software packages that might be installed there. Generally speaking, it is a good idea to have those set. I don't think I know the answer off the top of my head about why the changes you made were not permanent. Probably need to consult with somebody with the AIX support team to try to answer that part of your question. But as far as having them set for MQ across the board, I would recommend it, but whether they have to be or not is really dependent on what you're doing, what kind of throughput you're doing, what your message sizes are, what other kind of applications are running on the machine.
So it's recommended that we do that before we do the upgrade, right? And so I'm wondering after the fact.
It's recommended. It's not going to affect the upgrade itself. It's really to be in place when you are running the queue managers after the migration, but it's one of those steps that we include in the migration phase because that's generally the time when you're considering those kind of topics. But as far as affecting the actual migration itself, the actual install of the code, it won't affect that portion. It's going to be more a matter of, or more impactful when you actually are running your Queue Manager in other applications.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And next we'll hear from Stephen Radice with IBM.
Hello, this is Steve. Hey, the question, I got a two-parter here. The first part dealing with the multiple sets of file sets in the install for when they have the GS Kit and the IBM Java. As far as the GS Kit, can you actually have both versions installed? And if not, how do you tell which one you need?
Yes, you can. GS Kit will allow you to have multiple versions installed at the same time.
Okay. And the same with Java, too, then, right?
Yes. Java is going to be, depending on your class path, what your class path and live paths point to as far as which libraries it uses, but you can have multiple versions installed at the same time.
Okay.
It does get a bit tricky sometimes if you have multiple path statements and environment settings to keep track of which one you're picking up, especially if you start packaging things into your jar files with your applications. It gets a little bit tricky there to keep track of which ones you're using and which ones are getting picked up, but you can have multiple versions installed at the same time.
And then the second part of this is the version 6 footprint as far as resources like IPC and shared memory and semaphores like that. Has that increased with this version?
I don't know the specifics of that question. I don't know the answer off the top of my head is what I'd have to say now. If you want to send us a note, we can look into that and give you some more details. I haven't actually gone and compared the values to previous versions to see how they relate. I know that they're documented in the manual, but I hadn't actually compared them, and we hadn't really ran into a lot of problems with resource issues where those values were set too low. We did run into lots of problems with that area in the past. I would say version 5.2 in particular, we had lots of issues relating to those kind of things where people didn't have those parameters set to the values that we recommended, and they ran into problems because of it. We hadn't seen a lot of those for the customers that have already migrated to version 6, but I don't know if that's because the values are so similar to what we were using in 5.3 or whether it's because customers are actually aware of those issues and are proactively addressing it before they run into problems.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from Thomas Villega with Ameriprise Auto and Loan.
Yeah, a couple of questions here. TechSocs I've been reading state that in order to install 6 over a 5.3.0.13 that all you have to do is remove the BND files, which apparently have the DCE in them, and install MQ6 over. So I'm taking it that this documentation you're presenting is newer and states don't do that.
The platform you're referring to?
AIX, the 5.3.5.2s. 5.3 is at 5.3.6, and 5.2 is at 5.2.10.
You're going to need to remove all those. I think, was it the tech note you were referring to?
I've been trying to find every tech note I can on our migration before we do it, and there was a tech note or a README that you had out there that stated you just have to remove three file sets, client and server BND and one other one. I don't remember off the top of my head, and it says just install MQ6 over that. And since DCE was removed by removing the BNDs, that would solve the issue, and you could just install MQ6.
I believe I have the tech note that you were looking for. It's 1242103, and And you do have to remove those. You still do have to remove the product as well.
Okay, so 5.3 has to be completely off of it.
Yes.
All right, and then the last question is like a two-parter. If I use MS-03 to back up the 5.3 definitions, channels, and everything else and everything like that, these will restore into 6?
Yes.
And if so, you're talking about the support pack MS-6A, which apparently would do the install and everything. It seems to communicate over MQ. Do you need to migrate a QManager first to version 6 and then use this support pack?
You talking about the restore the definition?
Well, MS-6A states it can do an installation of MQ.
Right.
Also, what I'm asking is, do you have to be at MQ6 for this thing to work on another server, or can you install it where MQ has just been removed, like 5.3, and this will install everything for you?
I do not know the answer to that. I'd have to read the documentation with it.
Okay.
I know that it has some quite detailed scripts for doing that, but I don't know the answer to that. If you want to send us an email, I'd be glad to do some research for you on that and get an answer for you.
Okay, all I'd need is your email address then.
Okay. I believe it's on the web page, but I'll give it to you here in case it's not. It's BOWMANGA. BowmanGA at us.ibm.com.
Okay. Thank you.
And next we'll hear from Gene Hall with Cisco.
Hi. My question is in two parts. First, I would like to know a little bit more detail on the recent channel upgradation, especially when it is going to the object. Do we see any potential issue on a cluster environment?
Now the cluster channels are also stored as objects, just like sender channels or receiver channels.
Okay, and what is the difference in the new set of between the server and client channels?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Currently, we have the channel .tap files where we keep the server and client communication channel information. What is going to happen in the new environment? It will be in the same file or in a different file?
You can use those.
They will still be around.
My second question is there any issue with our current applications running MQ Broker and Workflow with this upgradation? Anything in particular we need to take care of?
Are you running on AIX?
We are running on AIX and Windows both.
Okay, on the AIX platform, there's one of the pages, one of the slides that I mentioned during the migration about an APAR on AIX dealing with the EXTSHM parameter.
Mm-hmm.
That issue may affect some broker applications. They can and sometimes tend to be memory intensive applications, and I believe that at least certain versions of the message brokers are still running 32-bit. So those can be affected by that particular APAR. So that is the issue that I know about for as far as message broker, and that's specific to the AIX platform.
So no such issue with Windows, right?
Correct.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Alan Pitt with Nationwide Mutual.
Hi, this is just a clarification on the migration between 32-bit and 64-bit QManagers with respect to Linux running on a Z. When you say there's no migration path, that means uninstall everything, tear down the existing QManagers, and rebuild from a save queue manager backup. Is that right?
That's right. Now, okay. I just want to clarify, too, that that is 32-bit version 6 to 64-bit version 6. If you're running the 32-bit version 5.3, you can migrate to version 6. You can migrate to 64-bit on version 6. But if you're running 5.3 and you migrate to Linux 32-bit MQ version 6, that is the point where you don't have a migration path up to 64-bit version 6 MQ.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll now hear from Francis Augustine with J.P. Morgan.
Hi. I wanted to understand the severity of this APAR IY88283, where it says channels would not start after upgrading to WMQ v6, because we are rolling out version 6020, which doesn't include this fix.
Just a moment. We're trying to pull up the details of that now. 88283?
Yeah, it's listed in your presentation.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're just going back to see what the specifics of that were. I don't have them off the top of my head here. We'll have to see what the details are.
Yeah.
In general, while my colleagues are looking that up, in general, the reason we listed all these APARs was to try to highlight the point that Kenneth made several times, in that when you do the migration, it is recommended that you go ahead and upgrade to the latest fix pack or refresh levels in order to pick up these kind of fixes, so you don't have to deal with these kind of problems.
Yeah, this seems like a recent one. I mean, we started the upgrade rollout, and I was the one who reported the first PMR on that broker issue. And we also had another issue with the SSL, certain channels, so we had to get a fix for that. So
right.
But this is something that I just noted. It's a very recent one, it seems like, and our test and development have been, we have migrated that to 6020, and production is planned this weekend. And I wanted to understand the severity of this. Is it something that we should put in or not in? And it seems like it's to do only with the migration. Once the migration is successful, we won't see this issue later on. But I couldn't get more details on the APAR.
Well, it is included in the 6021 level, which is our
right.
That's currently our latest level. 6021 has been out for a while. 6022, I believe, is due at the end of this month. But that fix, the fix for IY88283, is included in 6021.
Right, but
that level.
Yeah, but we had started the 6020,
okay.
And that's what we are having rolling out to production this weekend. We go through the test and then the QA and then production. So.
Okay. Well, my colleagues looked up the actual A part. Didn't have any further details beyond the title has, so I
right.
Can't really give you more details about it at this time.
Okay.
If you want the specific fix for that particular APAR, if you can open a problem record and just indicate that, we can. I'm pretty sure we can get it built at the 6020 level.
Right. I mean, I have a PMR and I'm waiting for level 3 to come back with the severity, but I wanted to check if anybody had experienced that.
Well, APARs are a result of, or most all APARs are a result of customers reporting problems to us. There are some exceptions to that, but most of the APARs are generated as a result of customers reporting problems and us working with them to find the cause and solution. So I would say at least one other customer has already seen that, but I can't give you statistics on how many people have seen it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the level 2 said there's 10 PMRs on that, so...
Okay.
One other question I had, if I can ask that, is in your presentation, you had a link to a rollback procedure from WebSphere MQ v6 to 5.3. That link doesn't work. Is this is a rollback where you actually save the log files and the queue manager data files, and is there a way to roll it back or?
No, basically what you described is the rollback steps that are described in that tech dot. We'll have to check on that because we had checked all those links when we put them in there last week. We went back through and checked them. So it sounds like something happened between then and today. So I have to apologize for that, and I can go back and see if we can get that particular link fixed.
Okay, so that is actually restoring it back from the log files and the queue manager data files?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Next we'll hear from Adriano Alves with IBM.
Hello, this is Adriano speaking here. I have a bug related to upgrade to version 6 when we have R2 MQ link inside the sandbox. I had a bad experience last week where we removed RMQ file sets, and it says that there is a dependency between the products. So is there a better way to perform the upgrade and instead of remove all products, or no?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but we couldn't understand what you were saying. Are you on a speakerphone? Hello, are you still there?
It appears he did hang his phone up, and we'll move on next to Renato Zancoper with IBM.
Hi. I guess my question is the same as Adriano. Is there any special consideration about migrate from MQ v5.5.3 to version 6, where we have on an AX box the MQ link for SAP R3 running together with MQ? Adriano has some. He's from the same team as I,
okay.
And he has some issues when he tried to do this migration in a recent past. So we were wondering if there is any special consideration for that.
No, actually, the same level of the MQ SAP R3 link code runs with either version, with version 5.3 or version 6. The MQ R3 link code is the same. It doesn't change. It has been tested with version 6 and has been shown to work. But if you have discovered some problems there, I would encourage you to open a problem record and we can work with you to try to sort that out. Do you know what version of the SAP R3 link code you're running?
No, I'm not sure about this one. Adriano that had worked on that, and he same time with me now, and his phone has hanged. Michael, what we saw is that it really, when we set up a new server with MQ version 6, it worked fine. It seems that this problem was during the migration. It has some problems there. That's why we are wondering if there is any special recommendation for this kind of migration.
I have not run into those personally, but I don't, you know, I'm not at a position now to investigate it in depth. I would encourage you to open a problem record for that, though, and we'll be happy to work with you to try to sort that out. But I have not personally seen any issues like that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
And we'll take our next question from Ralph Dominguez with Lehman Brothers.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Wanted to ask in regards to any known issues or risks in migrating a queue manager, let's say on a ZOS platform that retains a full repository. and we have a distributed MQQ manager. What are the risks in upgrading a distributed environment to version 6 prior to a ZOS version 5.3.1 full repository being migrated? Is there any documentation, APARs, tech notes, issues that have been encountered, or has no one actually done that at this point?
I don't know the answer to that.
But we probably have to research.
We have to research.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we don't know the answer to that one. That falls into the category I mentioned before. I'd have to research it.
Okay.
Did you capture my email address from before?
Actually, I did not. Can you repeat that?
I sure can. It's BOWMANGA, BowmanGA, at us.ibm.com.
All right, thank you.
And we have a follow-up question from Robert Strong at Kaiser Permanente.
On an AIX platform, would it be any cleaner if you could to build the queue manager from scratch after, you know, installing version 6 as opposed to migrating a queue manager from 5.3 and assuming that, of course, we were sure there's no messages on queues, all the queues are drained. So we would have the luxury and the time to do this if we wanted to.
Either method is supported and neither method should have a problem, so whichever suits you personally, your personal preference should be fine. I don't see that, you know, it's not necessary to take that kind of step. If you feel safer, maybe, with doing it that way, there's no problem doing it that way, but you should be fine just to migrate the queue manager without having to recreate it, especially if you take care, like you said, to make sure there's no messages stored there. There should be no problem doing it that way, but if you want to break it all down and redefine your queue manager and objects again, that will work too.
Thanks.
As a final reminder, that is star 1 if you have a question or comment, and we have another follow-up from Jane Hall with Cisco.
Back to the 602 level, install. Are you seeing any particular areas of trouble with MQJMS clients? We've had one application that seems particularly nasty and had to get up with Hersley on it for over a couple of week period to resolve some of the issues, and it seems like some new ones are cropping up.
I don't have anything specific to mention. We have had issues in that area, but it wasn't unique to 6020. We've had issues in that area in previous versions as well. So the 6020 level, I don't know anything that's specifically troublesome there. Like I said, we have had PMRs open at that level, but we haven't opened it at all the previous levels as well, and there's not any one thing that's sticking out that's saying, you know, a lot of customers are hitting this one problem. We haven't seen anything like that.
Thanks.
And it appears there are no further questions. I'll turn things back over to our speakers for today for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Greg, Jack, and Kenneth, for presenting today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.